This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. It's Tuesday, the 21st of September, 7:35 in the morning. I'm Shazana Mokhtar in studio today with Noel Lim and Kusu Chuang. But in the meantime, we are taking a look at global trade agreements. Last week, China formally submitted a request to join the Comprehensive and Progressive Agreement for Trans-Pacific Partnership, also known as the CPTPP. So this is quite an ironic twist, given that the treaty was originally envisioned by the US as an economic bloc to counterbalance China's growing power, and the US then withdrew from the grouping under President Trump. So essentially, China is joining the club that the US set up, but the US isn't part of that club anymore.
But although, of course, China has long hinted at its intention to join, there's also a lot of doubt over whether they'll actually follow through with it. There's many elements of the Chinese economy, right, that will need to be overhauled, like labor rights, government procurement. And of course, there's also the small matter of the fact that China is at odds with several of the CPTPP founding members, like Canada and Australia. And of course, there's also in the wake of, what is this, the pact?
The AUKUS Defense
AUKUS
Pact.
AUKUS Defense Pact, that's right.
Right. The formal application came 24 hours after the US, UK and Australia announced the AUKUS Defense Pact, and China wasn't thrilled about that. So, you know, you kind of wonder what their motivations are going into this. But just so we can throw some numbers out there, the combined economies of all CPTPP members is about $13.5 trillion. That is about the size of China's GDP. So China joining this grouping would make it, wow, I can't fathom that that number. It's like 25 trillion.
Yeah, and of course, if China joins, then of course it will become the biggest trading bloc in the world, bigger even than the European Union, right? So that would be interesting, but obviously, there's considerable doubt, as you were saying, about whether China joins.
So we're asking today whether this move is more symbolic than substantial. Joining us to discuss this is Dr. Juwita Muhammad, Indo-Pacific Fellow at the Perth US Asia Center. Juwita, good morning. It's always good to have you. What do you think are the main motivations for China's request to join the CPTPP? Is this genuinely for economic reasons, or is the rationale ultimately a political strategy to really one-up the US?
Good morning, everyone. President Xi Jinping said last year that China was interested to join the CPTPP, but analysts have signaled that the timing of its formal move was quite unexpected, as you mentioned, given the escalation in tension with countries like Australia, the US, and the UK over the recent new defense deal, which includes giving Australia nuclear power submarine technology. There is also another theory about the formal move made by China, and it has a lot to do with Taiwan's interest in joining the CPTPP as well. But putting those theories aside, with China joining the CPTPP, it is able to access market beyond its borders with lower tariffs and also non-tariff barriers, even though it will be at higher standards. This can be seen as a positive move by China, as it is willing to commit to higher standards on labor, environment, and state-owned enterprises, which would require meaningful reforms domestically.
Is the joining of China actually good for other countries in the CPTPP? And I think of other countries like Malaysia.
Of course. With China being a part of CPTPP, it will actually push the member countries, not just China, to play by international rules and international standards. So again, you not only have member countries giving you access beyond their national borders, but also they're playing by international standards, which is always a plus.
So in terms of what it stands to gain from the CPTPP, what is your opinion on whether, you know, China actually does make a formal application to join the grouping?
Yes, I feel that the next generation of free trade agreements will come at a higher standard like the CPTPP. So as a global player like China, eventually it would need to play by these rules that are of international standards, and this will be inevitable. So before China can join the CPTPP, a ministerial meeting needs to be held by members to gauge if China is willing to make these reforms. With the US U.S. still not a member of CPTPP, contentious provisions like the investor-state dispute settlement mechanism and the grandfathering of patents are still suspended. Nevertheless, China needs to ratify provisions are related to labor and also state-owned enterprises, which can be challenging for the economy.
Well, due to the size and heft of the grouping, it does make sense for Malaysia to join its ranks, but Malaysia hasn't done so, and I think a decision is due by the end of this year. What do you think, Juwita, are the main reservations from the Malaysian government?
I think that the provisions on labor, the provisions on ISDS, and the provisions on state-owned enterprises may not be favorable as it requires deep reforms in the country. On labor, for example, laws need to be passed to align to the ILO convention. On ISDS, especially, the possibility of an investor bringing the state to court over a dispute may be intimidating. And on state-owned enterprises, GLCs and the like need to be transparent in their business activities, including their government procurement processes, which may be very challenging for Malaysia. Nevertheless, these reforms are needed as it pushes Malaysia to play by international rules and standards.
So the effects of the pandemic may linger for another few years as businesses, especially the SMEs, our SMEs, have to recapitalize and find their footing again. And they might be the most impacted by the CPTPP if they lack scale and efficiency. So when is a good time for Malaysia to really seriously ratify the CPTPP and just be part of the bloc?
We should have ratified it maybe 2 years ago before the pandemic. We should be the first movers, and that was the plan with the previous government. But again, without the first mover advantage, we still, I feel, need to ratify the CPTPP, because by withdrawing from the CPTPP, we lose market access to countries where we do not have FTAs with now and also future partners that are interested to join, like the UK and China, with preferential treatments. So by ratifying late, as I mentioned before, we may not have the first mover advantage anymore. When we look at Vietnam, Vietnam was very successful in reaping higher welfare gains as it ratified the CPTPP earlier on than most members.
All right, so you're of the camp that the CPTPP should have been ratified yesterday, essentially.
Yes, definitely.
Turning back to, I guess, what the road ahead for China in gaining access to this club. I mean, China, as we mentioned earlier, has testy relations with several members of the CPTPP. So how detrimental will that be to its membership chances? Could its membership, its application just stay in limbo for, I don't know, for a long time?
It is a mixed bowl of reaction when it comes to member countries. So like Australia, for example, upon receiving the news of China's interests, Australia has demanded China to end its campaign of economic trade coercion and reopen ministerial trade talks as a prerequisite for starting negotiations on its bid to join the CPTPP. So we may expect that China will face stumbling blocks gaining membership of the region's largest trading bloc, due to, again, the rising security and also economic tensions with some of its members like Australia, the US, and other key members as well, like Japan.
So following this recent development of China expressing interest once again to join the CPTPP, could we see the US trying to rejoin the ranks of TPP or reviving talks around this?
We know that Biden is not interested for the U.S. to join the CPTPP at its current form, but I don't think renegotiations are currently taking place between the U.S. and also other CPTPP members. A renegotiation is possible in the future, but the new terms need to be accepted by the 11 countries, and this may take more time.
Juwita, thanks so much for weighing in with your comments and helping us to understand what the dynamics of the situation are. That was Dr. Juwita Mohamad, Indo-Pacific Fellow at the Perth US Asia Centre, talking to us about the CPTPP and China's perhaps eventual entry into the club.
Yeah, you know, for Malaysia, in terms of us wanting to be an outwardly, you know, trade-dependent nation, it seems incongruous that we haven't signed up for this. And of course, the reasons are clear, right? For example, the politicians have said that it's the investor-state dispute settlement system, which is, you know, which might marginalize local companies. But there's also the things about NEP and basically the rules about how we treat local labor and how, you know, how companies are hiring their people, which are, you know, misaligned with what the TPP or the CPTPP
wants. Yeah, it's a question of whether we have the political will, right? And
correct.
Right now, there is no strong political party having a very clear majority in parliament. So we might see this decision of ratifying the CPTPP gets delayed for like God knows how many more elections.
Yeah, foreign MNCs want to come in, they want to invest in the country, they want to hire the best and the brightest, right? They don't want to be given these laws on labour and employment, which might then be, you know, thwarting commercial objectives because they're not fit for purpose or good enough for what they need to do.
Well, the longer Malaysia belabours this issue, the more we stand to lose out from the CPTPP advantages, as Juwita pointed out. So it's something we're going to be watching. What is the government's next step on this? Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.